we're so excited to have with us Reggie Dabbs. Reggie Dabbs is from Fort Myers, Florida, and has been rated by CNN as the number one speaker to students in America. He's spoken to over 1.5 million students. And a few weeks ago, he was scheduled to be in several of our area schools doing school assemblies, but because of COVID, that didn't happen. So we're going to be rescheduling that, hopefully for next semester in some of our area schools. And so Reggie's particular gifting is students and teachers, and that's why we invited him to help us as he speaks to us and help us to honor teachers. And so would you give your best welcome to Mr. Reggie Dabbs, everybody?
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Are you happy? I was going to say Merry Christmas because I'm from like Naples, Fort Myers, Florida, and this is like Christmas Day weather-wise, but I'm all right. It was so cold this morning, I almost turned white. Can I say that? Okay, good. I see Black Lives Matter hoodie over there. Okay, we good. Yeah, man. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Everybody, look at your neighbor, look them in the eye, and just say, all right, all right, all right. Turn to the person on the other side of you. You don't even know them, but say it again. Say, all right, all right, all right. So I'm going to start out before we do anything else. I promised I would play saxophone. I'm going to play a song. But we got to go to education. This is about teachers. And I'm going to do it twice. So I'm going to do it now. If you are a teacher, faculty, staff member, bus driver, cafeteria lady, you work in schools, you help teach young people, I need you to stand to your feet real fast. I'm only going to do it twice. This is the first time. Come on, church. Let's thank all our teachers that came today. You guys are awesome. You got it awesome. You may be seated, and I'm going to talk to you in a minute. But first of all, everybody has to go to school right now. It's all about education, so I got to figure out what camera, because there's people watching online. So I got to make sure. We're going to learn our colors, all right? So everybody, look up here and say this color. Good, good, good. I love it. There's older people going, I can't see that far. Everybody say yellow. That's good, good. The next color, everybody say blue. That's real good. Now everybody say red. All right, y'all doing good. Let's do it again. Say yellow. All right, good. Now say blue. Say blue. Now say go blue. Oh, I knew I'd make Indiana like Michigan. That was awesome right there, all right? Everybody say red. All right, good. Now, trust me, we're going to come back to that. We're going to come back to that. Today is a great day. And today, with educators, I just want to talk to you. And the best thing I could do is to go back to when I was in school. Now, a lot of you are looking at me thinking, I'm sure he had to be the smart kid that everybody hated when Reggie walked in the classroom. They knew that the grading curve would go up because Reggie was sitting in that room. If you're thinking that, go right ahead and keep thinking that. It is not true. I play football, all right? C's get degrees. I'm just going to go on, all right? Now, before I do this, you got to understand, one of the greatest things I learned in public school was how to play the saxophone. And I'm going to find out, and you're going to find out even more than me, how good public school was for my saxophone ability. I woke up this morning, there was a song in my head, and I literally decided I would play it today. If you're church-going people, you might know this one. And if you do, just sing along, because it's a good song.
Yeah.
Somebody say, all right, all right, all right. When you have Education Sunday, the only thing you could really do is to reminisce and go back in the day. So let me just take you on a journey, church, back to my last year in high school. Now, to start this out, just go with me. At the end of my junior year, I fell in love. And this girl was really pretty. Some of you are like, how pretty was she? She had to go to summer school, and I went with her. That's how pretty she was. Now, that's really pretty. Now, at the end of summer school, I went to the guidance counselor to get my schedule for my senior year in high school. And the guidance counselor said, Reggie, you only need one class to graduate. The only class I needed to graduate high school was government. And I went, okay, that sounds like a good plan. She goes, but if you're going to play football, you got to be in school all day. So we got to find out a way to get a schedule to keep you here all day. So ladies and gentlemen, don't get jealous, but let me tell you, my last year in school, my senior schedule in high school, first period, gym assistant. Yeah, easy A. Second period, gym assistant. You might see a pattern in this. Third period, jazz band. Hello, got the skills. Fourth period, government. Fifth period, gym assistant. Sixth period, football. Come on, church, clap your hands, because the Lord was good to me my senior year in high school. I see a 4.0 in my future. It was beautiful. The first day of school, I got up early. I got my new kicks on. I'm ready to go. I got to the gym. I walked up and went, Coach, what do you want me to do? And the coach says, oh, Reggie, go to the front office. They change your schedule. And then he laughed three times. He went, ha, ha, ha. Look at me. If you're a young person, if you ever have a teacher, coach, adult laugh three times like that, it ain't good for you, okay? So he said, go to the office. So I went to the office. If you know anything about public schools or any school, whoever's behind the desk in the front office, they run the whole world. They run it all. Even the superintendent will agree with that. They run it all. So these four ladies in the office, I walked in and went, good morning, ladies. They went, oh, it's Reggie. And like a choir, all four went, ha, ha, ha. I'm in trouble. And they said, Reggie, they changed your schedule early this morning. First period, you need to go to the fourth floor and go to room 402. And I started laughing because I knew our school didn't have four floors. There was only three. Well, I thought that our school had four floors. They said, baby, go to the third floor and you'll see stairs going up and keep going up. When I got to the fourth floor, there were double doors. I was shocked. There's four floors in our school. I've been here 3 years. This is awesome. And above the doors was two capital letters, a capital A and a capital P. I had no idea what that meant. Why? Because I played football. You don't need to know what AP means if you play football. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, what's AP? So I went to room 402. I opened the door. And when I looked in, there were 22 students in the classroom and a teacher sitting in the corner. And as I looked through the class, I knew no one except one guy. And he the kicker on the football team. He the smartest dude on the team. He know which way the wind blowing and everything. He looked at me and said, what are you doing? I said, they told me to come here. He said, run. So I turned to run. And when I turned to run, the teacher went, no, Reggie, we've been waiting for you. We can begin now. And I went, excuse me. This is not my class. She said, it is now. Welcome to Advanced Placement English. Advanced Placement English. Who puts a football player in advanced placement English? I need Jesus to come back like now. And I looked at the teacher and I said, but mom, now I don't know if y'all got that or not, but my advanced placement English teacher was my mother. She was the one that changed my schedule and put me in her class. You don't know how bad life is. COVID ain't got nothing on being in your mama's classroom for advanced placement English. I looked at her, and she was laughing. She goes, "You mind?" And I wanted to go to the office and call my dad. But I didn't have to because he was the janitor at the high school. And I looked at the door, and he was there laughing at me. It was a conspiracy. Now, listen very carefully. In advanced placement English, your job, go with me, y'all, go with me. Trust me, this has got a point. And I got teachers here, and all you teachers, you have to understand. In this class, you had to read 8 books. They gave us a paper called a syllabus or syllabi. It was everything we had to do that year. So there was a book you had to read. Then you had to write an 8-page paper for that book. And then you got graded for that paper. Then you read the next book. And by the end of the year, you will have read 8 books and done 8 8-page papers on each of the books. So I got through that, and all of a sudden, we got to the end of the year. All of a sudden, I realized there's 2.5 weeks left in school before I graduate. And the teacher, my mom, looked at me and said, "Reggie, come up here. I have your final grade." Talk about death sentence. I walked up and I looked at her and I said, "I know you love me." She said, "Just look down. Here's your grade." And it was a C+. Everybody clap your hands. That's like an A- for any normal person. I got it. C's get degrees. I'm out the door. I said, "Yes, yes." And I went back to my seat. Everybody got their grade. And she said, "Class, what do you want to do? We have 2 weeks and 3 days left in class. I have an idea." She said, "Everyone tomorrow, bring your favorite book from home. Let's read it together and write one last 8-page paper for the fun of it together." Who does that? I live with that lady. And I raised my hand and I said, "Any book?" She said, "Yes, Reggie, any book." So I'm here this Sunday morning to let everybody at Grace Assembly know I wrote my last paper in high school on that literary masterpiece, Humpty Dumpty. Clap your hands for Reggie. I got 8 pages out of that. Yeah, some of you like, "It can't be the same one." Oh, yeah, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All King's horse, all King man, can put Humpty together again. I made it 8 pages. I broke it down. I talked about how Humpty was the missing link. Because if you an egg with arm and legs, you special. I'm just saying, all right? Then I broke it down. I said, not only that, Humpty had to be a teenager. Because if Humpty was a grown man, he wouldn't be up on the wall. Because if you an egg, you know better. But not only is Humpty a teenager, he smoked dope. Because the brother's on crack. Because that's why he's on that wall. And people were telling him, "Get down, Humpty." But a teenager's hard-headed. He's looking down like, "I'm Humpty, Humpty Dumpty." And they're like, if you understood that, clap your hands because you old like me, all right? I wrote it, and my conclusion was the best. In my conclusion, I simply said, the book says all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. So if all the king's horses were there and all the king's men were there, then the king had to be nearby. So next time you mess up, next time you fall, next time you go back to the same mistake, next time you do it, next time you go, next time don't go to a horse and don't go to a man, go to the king. Somebody clap your hands because that was good. I walked up with 3 days left in school. I said, "Mom, here's my paper." I turned around, went back and sat down. And I watched my mom read my paper. And she started laughing. And she literally said, "Class, stop. Everyone, put your stuff down. Just for a second. I need to read you Reggie's paper." And she started reading my 8-page masterpiece to everyone in the class. Hold on, people. Sometimes I think you can get a glimpse of your future. Students were laughing, giving me high fives. I started thinking, wait a minute. I might be an author. I might be a New York Times best-selling author. I'm going to write movies. And everyone's laughing, giving me high fives. And when my mom finished my paper, she shredded it up in 1,000,000 pieces, threw it in the air like confetti at a Toby Mac concert, and said, "This won't work. You got 3 days. Get another book." That's my mother. And I said, "What?" She goes, "Come on, let's get another book. I got one for you." And my mom gave me a book. Now listen to me. Just so you know, there's something you need to know about my mom. Something. My school had this thing called parent-teacher conference. Now, I'm going to be honest. I know there's a lot of educators here, and there's a superintendent sitting over there, but I hate parent-teacher conference. Whoever is running for president says, I'm getting rid of parent-teacher conference. I'm voting for them, all right? Clap your hands if you with me on that one right there. Thank you. That's all the bad people in school clapping. All of a sudden, I looked up and I saw my name, and I said, why is my name up there? And the teacher said, tomorrow's parent-teacher conference. You're the first, so your mom and dad already know. They got a letter. They're going to come and meet with me for 5 minutes. Everybody's parents meets with me tomorrow. I said, okay, didn't you get to go home with your parents? I said, okay, so my mom and dad came, sit down, talked to the teacher. When it was over, we walked outside. I noticed something when we got outside. All my friends' parents were there, and all my friends' parents were young. But my parents were like, old. No. I mean, I'm like, what in the world? And I'm thinking, why are they old? But I didn't say nothing because it wouldn't be polite. So I waited till we got in the car. I'm in the back seat. They're in the front seat. We're riding home. I yelled to the front seat, hey, why y'all old? Don't ever do that. Look at me, teenagers. Don't ever do that. If you think your people old, get it out of your mind. Let it go, all right? Just don't even make it out loud. Say it in your bedroom when no one's around. My parents are old. But to whisper it because they can hear. They got ears everywhere. I think they bug our bedrooms. All of a sudden, when we got home, my dad said, we got to talk. And they sit me down and they told me something. And it was the day that I'll never forget my entire life, because the teacher who was my AP English teacher, yet I call her mom, is not my real mom. You see, that day in the first grade, I was told that I was in foster care, that I had a brother named Keith and two sisters named Anna and Jeanette, that my mom's husband left her and she lost everything. And she lived on an abandoned farm in a chicken coop in Louisiana, and she had nowhere to go. But she remembered back her last year in high school, she had an English teacher who wrote her phone number on the chalkboard and told all the students, if you ever need help, call me. Put it on a piece of paper. Put it in your wallet, boys. Put it in your purse, girls. Just keep it with you, because the day may come when you need a friend, and if you ever need help, you call me and I'll help you. My mom in a chicken coop in Louisiana found a payphone, called that number, and that English teacher answered, got in a car and drove from Tennessee to Louisiana, found a chicken coop, took my mom and her kids and brought them back to Tennessee with her, took care of her till the day I was born. When I was born in the delivery room, my mom was screaming, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it. And she looked at the teacher and said, you take him, you raise him, he's yours. And that teacher raised me, and her husband, a school janitor, raised me. Just I tell you, if you are an educator, you might be the bus driver, you might be the cafeteria lady who makes all those good peanut butter cookies, thank you, because of people like you, boys like me become men like me. And I'm here today to just thank every teacher. Go ahead and clap for them. In a minute, I'm going to make them stand one more time. But just clap for them. You need to know that. I told you my foster care mom, and I say it just so you can get it, she was the English teacher. My foster care dad was the high school janitor. I call them mom and dad. They're the only people I know. Did you know I didn't even have a last name until I was 12? My name is Reggie Dabbs. I'm the son of a teacher and the son of a school janitor. And I can't think of any other place I'd rather be or who I'd rather be, because they chose me. And to every teacher, thank you. There was a teacher at the first service this morning. She came up and she goes, you have ruined my entire year. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, no, it's for the good. Because in my last class, I have a young boy in my middle school who's a football player. And when everyone else leaves, he has to stay for like 15 minutes. And we talk. And he keeps saying that he was a mistake, that his mom gave him away, that he should have never been born. And I realized this morning that God let me become a teacher for that little boy. And now I get to love him better than I would last Friday. So this whole day has paid off already. Now I know some of you are going, now wait a minute. How in the world, what does this have to do? Oh, we're going to get there, because I got to do it one more time. Everybody say yellow. Everybody say blue. Everybody say red. Come on now, say yellow. Say blue. Say red. Okay, let me explain this to you. Remember the book that I had to read in 3 days? I didn't graduate from AP English. My mom gave me a book, and the title was a word. I could spell it out. M-A-S-H. MASH. And underneath the title of the book was numbers. 4077. So this book was called 4077 MASH. Now, if you're older, you know that was a sitcom back in the day in the 70s and 80s about a mobile hospital unit in the Korean War. How many of y'all remember that? Just wave at me. Okay, cool. People online are waving. That's good. Now, I thought my mom loves me. At least I can read a book that's funny. Look at me, people. It wasn't funny. It was a real book from the real Korean War with the real mobile hospital unit with people really dying and doctors and nurses and orderlies trying to save their life. And this was the last book I read in high school. My mama don't love me. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 were fine. But then it got to chapter 9. The title of chapter 9 was simply Tags. T-A-G-S. Everybody say tags. Just one more time, say tags. Now here it is. This whole book was talking to doctors and nurses and telling their stories about how they tried to save soldiers, and some of the soldiers they saved and some of the ones they didn't. And as it got to this chapter 9, I learned that they were actually losing soldiers that they could have saved. Let me explain. They literally, as they ended every day, started to review everything they did. And they started to realize that while they saved a lot of soldiers, that the soldiers that they got to last, some of them had died because they didn't get to them in time. And as good doctors and nurses, they decided, we got to do something. So they decided, to win, we have to lose. So they took one doctor and two nurses every day. They rotated it so you wouldn't have to go through this every day by yourself. The doctor would pre-check every wounded soldier that came to the mobile hospital unit. And they used tags. Everybody say yellow. Yellow means you're not hurt bad. Give you some for the pain. We come back. We'll get you, stitch you up. It'll be all right. If you can't get yellow, you want blue. Everybody say blue. Blue means you're hurt really bad. We got to get you to surgery to save your life. Now, if you can't get yellow and you can't get blue, you do not want red. Everybody say red. Red means there's nothing we can do. Your injuries are too severe. You're going to die. There's no hope for you. Every day, this doctor and two nurses would do their job. The doctor would simply just call out these colors, yellow, blue, 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 red, yellow. The nurse behind him listened intently to his voice, and she would put a tag on the wrist or on the ankle. Whatever he called, she'd tag him. Now, the second nurse or the third person, she had a nickname. They called her the Kiss of Death. Because in her pockets were full of a drug called morphine in a syringe. When she saw a red tag, she would shoot the shot in the arm or in the thigh, close her eyes, count to 22, reach down, pull the sheet over the face of the soldier, because that drug would have taken the life out of them and they would be gone. One day, they were doing this, and the doctor was calling the tag, and the girl was tagging, and they got to one soldier. He just immediately said, red, 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 turned and walked off. She put a red tag on his wrist. The girl came, the Kiss of Death with the shot. When she reached to put it in his arm, the soldier opened his eyes, grabbed her hand and said, tell my wife I love her. Tell my kids I did it for them. I'm okay. You can do what you got to do. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. And he closed his eyes and he waited to die because he was given the red tag. All of a sudden, this nurse, something moved within her. She looked around. Nobody was looking at her. So with no one looking, she reached in her back pocket, pulled out a pair of scissors. She clipped off the red tag. She put a blue tag on. And when she put the blue tag on, she called for the orderlies. They came and took him. She had to keep up, so she kept moving. One day turned to 1 week. 1 week turned to 1 month, to 2 months. 2.5 months later, they stopped getting soldiers who were wounded. A Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all day Sunday, no wounded soldiers. They started thinking that the war was about to end. But on the 8th morning, Monday, they heard helicopters. Everyone ran to their spot. Everyone's getting ready for wounded soldiers. When the helicopters landed, a SEAL team jumped out of the helicopters. No one was injured. And they were like, what in the world? So they asked him, what are you doing here? And they said, he's coming. All they would say was, he's coming. And then trucks, they heard the trucks. Could be ambulances. So they ran and got ready. They had the gurneys, everything. Ready, the truck stopped and Rangers jumped out, and none of them were injured. And they said, what are you doing? They go, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And then he came. A long black car pulled up. A soldier stepped out. He had 5 stars on each shoulder, a 5-star general, and he was from Alabama. So he was like, how y'all doing? He said, hey, can I get all the doctors and nurses in the cafeteria, please? And they all packed in this cafeteria. And when he walked in, they jumped up and everyone saluted. He said, no, sit down, I gotta ask you something. What does this mean? He snapped his finger and a patient chart was ran to him. And the patient chart had a red tag clipped on it. And the head doctor had explained the yellow, the blue, the red. And he said, whoever that is, how long ago? He said, it was 2 months and 2 weeks ago. He said, well, his injuries were too much. Tell the family we're sorry, but there was nothing we could do. They gave him morphine and let him die. He goes, good. That's what I thought you would say. What if I told you that this soldier was at home with his wife and his kids? What if I told you for 2 months we've been trying to figure out at the Pentagon how this could happen? What if I told you that the Pentagon sent me here because they figured it out? Somebody in this cafeteria changed that boy's tag. And I came to find out who did it. Now, who did? I got all day. I'm reading this, and all of a sudden, it hits me. And I literally was sitting in that classroom with my mom, because she said, stay here, keep reading, write the paper. You got till Friday. And this would have been Thursday afternoon. And I put my head down and literally started crying. And I didn't do this early service, but you need to know, my mom, she came back and she goes, are you crying? Are you all right? Are you mad at me? I said, no, I'm not mad. I said, chapter 9. And she went, tags. Hey, don't y'all get it? My own mom gave me away. You know why? My mom slept with a man to get $20 from my brother and sister so they could eat. I'm the result of that $20 bill. That's why she said I was a mistake. If you're a teacher, faculty, staff person, just go with me on this. Can you please stand up just one more time? All the teachers, faculty, staff, coaches, all that. Yeah, just, thank you, thank you, thank you for doing this. Don't sit down just yet. Just stay standing. I need to, yeah, good. I just want to look at you. You saved my life. I was born in sin. I'm supposed to live in sin. I'm supposed to die in sin. I'm a statistic. I'm supposed to be in prison. I'm never supposed to be on a stage with people listening to me. But because of a teacher, a coach, bus driver, the peanut butter cookie lady in the cafeteria, I am who I am today. I just came to say to all you teachers, you're tag changers. You know why? Listen to me. That man stood there and he waited and waited and waited. Then he looked up and looked to the back of the room and he saw a lady. He saw a nurse, and it was the nurse that clipped the tag off and changed it. He started running. He says, "It's you." He took off running. He fell and he broke. He didn't even get up again. He crawled on his hands and knees until he lunged and grabbed her by the ankles. She was leaning over, whispering to him, "It's okay. It's okay." And then everybody was making comments. But when all the people got quiet, all they can hear was a 5-star general screaming to the top of his lungs, "That was my son! You saved my son!" "Mr. Superintendent, thank you for saving my son. Teachers, faculty, staff, teachers, assistants, thank you. Here's why that's important. I was 12 years old and I wanted to give up on life. I was highly suicidal. 3 o'clock in the morning, my foster care dad, the school janitor, walked in my bedroom. He told me he had been there for 3 days, sleeping by my door. He said, "I don't care what you think about yourself, I love you. And I'll love you till the day I die." The thoughts of giving up still were in my head, but every time I thought about it now, his face would come up. All I needed was one person to believe in me. You don't even know it, some of you who are standing right now, but you're the one person that kid needs, and they're going to make it because of you. Thank you for being tag changers. Church, let's thank them like for real right now. Thank you. You can sit down, teachers, faculty. Thank you. It was that night at 12 years old. 3 o'clock in the morning, my foster care dad, he looked at me and he said, "Son, the one thing you must always remember is this, John 3:16-17. It's the first verses they've ever had me memorize. I was 4. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He said the whole world might turn their back on you. He said, "I might even let you down." He said, "You may think that your mom don't love you, that she won't love you. But guess what? Jesus already proved that he will love you no matter what you do, no matter where you go. And it's because of a school janitor and an English teacher that I found my hope in Jesus Christ. So teachers, thank you. And if you're here today and you need hope in Jesus, all you have to do is say, "Jesus, I need your help." Now teachers, I just want you to know, we got something special for you. So I need every teacher, grab your cell phone. Come on, teachers, grab them right now. Just grab them in your hand. Grab your cell phones. Pastor's going to explain to you. But I want to thank you, Grace Assembly, not only for just being the church, but being the church in your community. Thank you for cleaning schools, for participating, for giving money so that they can do special projects that the city don't help them with. Thank you, Grace Assembly. Clap for yourself for making this Teachers Appreciation Day what it should be. Now listen close to Pastor. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Reggie. Can we give it up for Reggie? What a powerful, come on, give it up. What a powerful story. What a powerful illustration. My word.